Amen. Thank you, Mark, for stepping in there. Our worship leader, Jeff, just couldn't make it today. He's been having several rounds of sickness, so please pray for Jeff Evans. Remember him in your prayers and your heart, and we sure would appreciate it. So, as God does once in a while, had a big kind of change up with what I was planning to what I was planning to preach on this week, and so I guess you'll have to really bear with me on that. Once in a while, God does that, and for the most part, the Holy Spirit works weeks and months in advance, and I can tell you, the Holy Spirit was working in our early service. All the songs were focused in a direction which I chose to go for preaching in the last few days rather than what I'd chosen months ago. And I'm thankful for that. I was going to talk about, in this series on great escapes, I was going to talk about the escape from temptation, because we know we all have temptations. It happens to every single one of us. And I was going to talk about that, and I know that's important, but probably something else has risen up as more important during this week. It is a part of the headlines, and that is the escape from racism. The escape from racism, and I hope this will all make sense to you, and you know, forgive me if I just don't have it 100% together, but I just have to confess I had to make that change. I'm watching the headlines. I know how it's emotionally affecting me, and even though I was on vacation, even though there was a wedding going on, as we saw these things happen, the protests, the disturbances in Baltimore changed the Thursday morning presentation at a conference of over 5,000 people present and 40,000 online. Changed the morning speaker and became a dialogue about confronting the horrors of racism. And also, I have a little pride and joy in the fact that Cynthia, last name escapes me, but she directs our Path One church planting national organization. And Cynthia was, of the four presenters, she's African-American female, quite young, and she was a part of that dialogue. So she represented us, United Methodist, well. But the news of the past few weeks, demonstrations in Baltimore, unrest in New York City, events all over the past year, Syracuse, Charleston, Ferguson, Michigan, Minnesota, sorry, Missouri. Yeah, I know. See, I never even heard of it before. Ferguson. It's just Ferguson. You don't even know the state, but you know that's a headline place. Didn't even know it before. And before that, there was Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. Racial reconciliation is one of those important things that we must keep the dialogue going. And if you're like me, you're troubled. It's not just the news. It's not just the events or things, the violence that seems senseless, but it's black and white. It's Hispanic. It's Native American. In our annual conference in a few weeks, we will have a service that at least speaks something about the horrors that happened to Native Americans, and we have a service of repentance. And that's not my favorite thing to do. I repent at the table of the Lord monthly, and sometimes more frequently than that. I repent when I know I've done something wrong, but these kinds of things continue to be a part of the dialogue, and so it must come sometimes at you, at me, from this place in the sermon. If anyone is mistreated, brutalized, if anyone is demeaned, they are my human brother or sister. Humanity was and is the crown of God's creation. Humanity, Genesis 1, 24, the crown of God's creation. In the image of God, he made them. In the Latin, I believe it is, in the imago Dei, in the image of God, he made them. He made us. We are one humanity. We have different lands, different languages, different cultures. But humans are God's creation, and thus, every single one, as close to us or as different from us as they are to be well respected. Jesus said, until this week, I never found the true understanding of this verse. Jesus said, I have sheep that are not of this fold. I think this means this and all that, but sometimes you get new resources and sometimes the Holy Spirit directs you to places. What Jesus meant in that time is that I have other sheep and they're not Jewish. It's like, surprise! Not everybody's Jewish. Eventually, they're going to be called Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. And the Christian was not necessarily the most favorable of words when they called that about Paul. Christ followers. Racism, racial reconciliation. Now, this one you can quote in the paper if you want. Racism and racial reconciliation should be the property of the church. Make sure you get all the words in there. If in Christ we are to rid this world, in Christ, we're to rid this world of racism and bring people together to dwell in unity and peace. Amen? But one thing I've noticed, it goes away somewhat, and then it comes back again. In me. I almost forgot those last two words, but that's confession. It goes away, and then it comes back again. It goes away, and then it comes back again. And if I'm kind of blocking that coming back part and saying, oh, I thought I dealt with this. Oh, you know, I'm married to Hispanic. Oh, I got a friend of this color. I go to Africa. So I can say all those things. But still, in this struggle of humanity, when a friend says, we have to understand the pain, I have to listen. Goes away, it comes back again in me. I never talk about this. I never preach about this. Very, very seldom. It's in the gospel sometimes, but it's not necessarily loud and clear when I say it. Today I simply want to open some thought and conversation in the body of Christ, the church, about our role in this area. This is not new, right? It's not new. You think how new is it not? Here's the prayer of a Jewish man in Jesus' time. As best I can tell, try to do as much resource. An old liturgical fragment from the Cairo Geniza, contains a formulation of several themes. This is an old fragment, and it says, I thank God who has created me a human and not a beast, a man and not a woman, an Israelite and not a Gentile, circumcised and not uncircumcised, free and not slave. Well, we hit a few bells on that one, didn't we? I thank God that I'm not. and although, you know, that's from another time, and though a lot of us would not necessarily breathe that out loud, I guess once in a while there's this little creeping thought. I'm glad I'm not. Like that, et cetera, et cetera. And some say at least part of this may have been plagiarized from Greek culture. And we know at least they had a saying, I'm glad I'm a Greek and not a barbarian. Oh, I'm glad I'm not a barbarian either, but wow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 4, and 5. Got to keep it short as much as I can. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, evil, and slander of every kind. That's the big statement in that letter, 1 Peter. Continues on, fourth verse. As you come to him, the living stone, Jesus Christ, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You didn't know, but you're being built. You'll continue to be built until the last breath that enters your life. And some of us will put up as many barriers to that as we can. If we look at this John 15, and we look at the vine and the branches, we think, well, how do horrible things happen? Why does evil prevail sometimes in this world? It's because someone is cut off from the vine. They have severed themselves from the one who will breathe life into them, who will give the nutrients and the fruit and the, I'm sorry, not the fruit, but the nutrients and the waters and all that through the vine, from the earth, through the vine into the branch. That illustration. Someone's cut themselves off from the vine. God, the maker and giver of life. God, the one who said, they're all mine. Every single color. You know, when I was a little child, I'm so glad, as far back as I can remember, sitting in the back of the little North Bingham Methodist church, one room church, and they taught me. I know it's crude, but it's still in the soul. Red and yellow and black and white, they are precious in His sight. That's what I was taught. And that's what we've tried to keep to. And we're, you know, we're as far as the congregation, we have a variety of races and nations, and sometimes more, sometimes less, and, you know, those kinds of things. And we may get into some dialogues and all that. We try not to. We try to be one people in Christ. Jesus was always in His messages, in His teaching, and in where He went, and what he talked about and what He did. He was always bringing up the Samaritans. You understand that? He was always bringing up the Samaritans. Why did Jesus always bring up the Samaritans? Try not to make this too gross. The Samaritans were the ones that were hated. You don't want to walk through their property. You want to go away from them. And Jesus said, you know, we had a priest and a Levite and all that. There's a guy who was beaten beside the road by robbers. He was left there for dead. And priest walked by, a Levite walked by. People were walking by. And soon a Samaritan went by and he picked him up and he healed him up and he took him and provided for his needs. And it's like, Samaritans wouldn't do that. And then Jesus, with the woman at the well, he goes through Samaria, not around Samaria, into the place where people, many were hated by the people of that time, by the Jews of that time, by the folks that Jesus hung around with. And they said, the Samaritan woman said to Jesus, you can't talk to me. First of all, you're a man. Second of all, you're not a Samaritan. You don't do that. Jesus is like, yes, I do. And by the way, I'm the living water. And I got news for you. God loves all His children the same by color or nation. Let me suggest a few things. He was addressing racism and hate. Let me suggest a few things. Don't demean what God has created. He created a diverse world. All are His. We are the image bearers of God. This should not be a shock if we read God's Word. If we quit reading God's Word, we kind of forget about these things. A second thing is God is leading us to understanding. And we have to remember, understanding something does not sanction it, does not always endorse it. We understand it. So when my friends say to me, you've got to understand the pain of some of these people, I'm like, well, I don't want to understand their pain. They're doing destructive things. Doesn't matter. Still need to understand their pain. Doesn't mean I endorse what they're doing. And here, remember, have national media, which is doing the sensational things. They don't care about the people who are calm and nice and like standing in protest. Just to be present, United Methodist, some of them included, brothers and sisters of mine, ours. No, they're going to, the sensational ones, they'll make the fires and all that. I mean, fire is much more exciting than standing quiet. That's where we get fed. We have to watch the other side. Romans 12, but understanding the pain of racism and brutality, police or otherwise. Romans 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. And we think about grief and things like that. But there are some other things that blanket covers from the pen of the Apostle Paul writing. Third thing, when we see racism, we can oppose it. It's our brokenness. Jewish-Christian dialogue? Israeli-Palestinian, Journeys for Understanding, Islam, Hindu, Buddhist, Baptist, Catholic, Pentecostal, etc., etc., etc. None of this happens in a vacuum. And I don't have time to get too far into that today, but when we see it, we can oppose it. And a fourth thing, this is a lot comes from my dialogue with my wife, but it's like, I know I can't fix the things in the past. I've asked for some things to be forgiven. I've tried to make some repairs in places, not only about racism, but a few other things. And it, you know, and sometimes we can and sometimes we can't, but we can work on the future. We can set ourselves up for success in the future as much as possible. We are the problem, but we're not without hope. We're a problem because we're human. And oftentimes we like to be with people like us. But there's also that side of understanding other cultures, understanding other races, understanding other practices, and saying, oh, this is a part of the diversity of God's world. So what can we do, or what can we do? Three things real quick. Number one is pray. You know, we're people of prayer. That's what God's people are, people of prayer. We pray. We pray about things. We pray about rising. We pray about going down to sleep. We pray about the morning and the afternoon, the evening and all that. Let's not have the Muslims do all the praying just five times a day just because their thing says you have to pray. No, we have the option to pray, and we can take this option. National Day of Prayer is Thursday, and we're going to lay some heavy prayers out there about a variety of things. Gather with a group. Do your personal prayer. If you have a group, start your group with prayers about the racism in us, about understanding, about loving the gift of God in Jesus Christ. So the second thing is we can pursue. And I've stolen this one from Matt Chandler. He's a great pastor in Texas. But he says we can pursue. We can increase our IQ, our ethnic IQ. How can we do that? We can read, we can listen, we can build relationships. Wasn't too many months ago, went to the movie Selma. Now, I lived through that, but I was kind of young. But it reminded me of some things I already knew that hurt. Build relationships. We can increase our ethnic IQ. That includes Native American. And the third thing is persevere. Persevere. It will be difficult at times. I may, in my efforts, my awkward efforts, I may sometimes offend. Now I'm you know, starting to touch base with a new congregation and say, you know, I have to tell you, and some of you have lived through this, so you know, sometimes I even offend myself. Sometimes I'm preaching the Word of God and it offends myself because God is hitting me with a bullseye right in the heart. But we can persevere. James chapter 1, verse 12, I'm going to land the plane here shortly, but it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life, and that the Lord has promised to those who love him. He's promised us a crown of life. Trials, verse 12, the same Greek word, perasmus. I'm still having trouble with Greek. Perasmus, that is translated as tempted in verse 13 also. These are trials and temptations. They can be thought of as tests. God uses trials and temptation as a test to prove our character. You know, there's some things I'll never prepare for unless I know I got a test. I know, I'm getting old. It shouldn't be like that, right? There's some things I'm not going to, you know, if I'm going to have a cholesterol test, I'm going to try to be a little bit better on that for the next few weeks. Well, you know how fruitless that might be, but you know, some things, you know, if you're going to have a test, you know, they're going to test me on this verse that I'm trying to memorize, and it's coming hard this time, but I'm going to keep working at it. We prepare for them. God uses trials and temptations as a test to prove our character. Right now, America's being tested. You can have all the opinions you want, maybe, and you're going to get at least one of mine, and that is, you know, God looks at nations. Nations that have been in power, nations that have been out of power. He looks at nations and say, is this one going my way? Is this one doing what I've asked it to do? America's being tested over racism, and the church is being tested about racial reconciliation. Today's a danger or opportunity for all of us. And some of us can take this personally, and some of us can incorporate this conversation and reconciliation, at least some steps in our groups or in our work. And we can do it. How's this a great escape in this series? Take the great escape that God gives you. Jesus is the ultimate escape route. Jesus and the Holy Spirit always working on us. I believe forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ is powerful enough not only to fix the wrongs of my past, but to also transform how I live in the present. The mission of the United Methodist Church is to make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We're the world. He can transform how I live in the present. Now, a little story, and there's no boasting in this. Just trying to be an example, trying to give just a little tiny example. But Thursday night, romantic date night with Louise. Last night, before we come back and get right to work, because there's going to be a lot of work in the next 2 months, packing bags and saying goodbyes and just loving on people for 2 months. But so have a little date night. The sun's going to set at the little harbor, and the guys there playing music. We're going to get a chance to dance. It's so good, you know. And so we're there. And having our dinner, and you know, broke up the dinner to go dance because the guy that was playing the keyboard was good. This African American guy, and he's sitting down. He's got the hat on. He's got the cool shades, and he's just playing. He's not looking at any of the music. He got some backup underneath, but he's still playing, and he's singing, and he's playing. This is good. It just was good. And it's like, oh, we're gonna dance some. We're gonna get that dinner down. He's gonna play some more good stuff. Maybe he'll do a request or two. And so we're there, and so he gets to the break point and puts on the recording so he can just take a break. I don't know how you keep all that stuff in your head, Gary. I don't know how you keep all that stuff in your head. Hey, as a musician, I just, you know. But he's just been singing away. So a couple of drunk people come around. Well, it's more than a couple. Too many. One is probably too many. But they come along, and they're dancing with the dance music, but they don't like the dance music, and they go over and hit his electronics. And they erased 3,000 songs. And the guy comes back from break. He's like, it's not happening at all. And it's just really sad. And it's like, well, we'll hang in there for a few more minutes. And I think there was a token, I'm sorry I did this, and I screwed up, and or whatever. And one lady fell down, and they had to pick her up and put ice on her and stuff like that. But it's an African-American male. Great singer. And I said, oh, you know, I could leave this alone or I could just say something. And as much as I wanted to dance, he was done. They cooked the thing. It was done. He called on the phone trying to get people to fix it. You know, what can I do? He was done. And I could tell he was sad. But he wasn't hostile with the people. I went up to him. I said, shake your hand. Derek Williams. I said, Derek, I can tell you're a great musician. And you're just here to play tonight, to help people enjoy the night when the sunset goes down. And I want to thank you for the music you have made. And I'm sorry if somebody messed your stuff up. He said, 3,000 songs got erased. And I said, I can't even think of that. But I'm sorry. And appreciate what you have done tonight. You know, maybe it's a small thing. It could have been... He could have been Filipino. He could have been Hispanic. It doesn't really matter, but just to say thank you for who you are and what you have tried to do as a human being tonight. May God bless us as we think about these things and come to the table of our Lord, where we know we can receive love and forgiveness and God's peace.